Hi, dear listeners. So another movie break interview at Berlinale, where we have the premiere screening of Köln 75. And I had just the honor to talk with one of the main actors, John McGarrah. And now I'm here with the director, Ido Flock. Hi, Ido.
Hi.
So is this your first Berlinale with this film? And how does it feel?
I mean, it was incredible to see the Berlin audience watch this film and then to bring Vera Brandes on stage and to see her soak the love. And when people stood up and applauded for her for so long and she's standing there and you see tears in her eyes and you realize, you know, we're filmmakers, we think our job is important, we think we're important artists, but this is way beyond this because I think we told the story of this woman that really deserved to be celebrated and wasn't getting enough of the credit for what she did. So I feel people really gave it to her last night and it was beautiful.
And it's also what makes this film so unique is it's not a film about a big star. It's not a film about Keith Jarrett, which would be what you expect. It's a film about the woman, or actually at the time she almost was a teenager, who realized the concert, who made it happen. So it's the people behind the scenes, which we usually never see. How did you find that story and decide that's my movie material?
Yeah, I love that you're saying this because this is exactly the point. You know, there's so many movies about music or about art, and we always put the artist in the middle. And it's always the same structure, you know, the someone is discovered and they rise to fame and then they slip with something and then there's like a big rise and then the final big moment in the concert. And we've seen it so many times. And okay, the music is great, the musicians are great, but we need to tell more interesting stories. And then I read about Vera Brandes and I was like, oh my God, this is an opportunity to tell the story of this really critical person behind the scenes who made it work, who created this, you know, no Vera Brandes, no Köln concert. It wouldn't happen. It would not exist in the world. So it was a chance to make a music film that was a different way, like original way to talk about art, not through the artist, but to celebrate the impresario or the producer. You know, I just spoke with the Saul Bondi who produced the film. And he said, you know, last night I watched it and I realized, wow, this film is really about people like me. And I think that's important for me, that we give credit to underdogs, to people who we don't usually celebrate in our society.
And also the aspect that, especially at the time, because it's 75, as the movie title tells us, she's a woman and even a very young woman in a very male-dominated industry. That's still true today, but then it was even more true. So was that also something that interested you, that you said, like, okay, that's like a double underdog?
Yes. I think we wanted to do a feminist act because the thing with this concert and what happened is that Vera Brandes never got the credit that she deserved. And especially from the Keith Jarrett camp, she was never really thanked properly. And she never really saw much let's say praise or any kind of money from doing this. And I felt like, oh my God, this is a big historical thing that we need to correct. Here was this woman who was such a cool lady, you know, at 16, she did whatever she wanted. She really created beautiful art. She promoted, everyone knew her. She changed the world. And these people didn't want the film to be made about her. And I said, I don't care. You know, the Keith Jarrett camp, as much as I love them and respect the music that they made, they don't get to decide that Vera Brandes doesn't get her movie.
And how did you meet Vera Brandes? And how did she react to you? Because she seems very headstrong, very sure of herself, which she has to be.
Yeah.
So maybe I imagine that if you meet her, she said, oh, I don't want a movie. Or who are you, guy? And then you have to convince her. So how did you do it?
Yeah. So like, so first of all, we found her. And my producer found her. She was on a beach in Greece. And she listened to him explaining what I wanted to do. And it was silence on the phone line. And then she said, finally, because I think she was waiting for someone to tell this story. But then I started talking to her and I said, Vera, I need to interview you because I want to make a film that is really authentic to your experience. I don't care about anyone else. This is your film. I want to tell your story. I need you to tell me everything. And it was a bit of a game at first because you have to establish trust. And Vera, she's such a wild, strong, energetic person. And I think she was testing me. So like we made an appointment to talk the first time. And it was because she was in Greece. I live in New York. So we made it. It was like 5 a.m. in New York. So like that was the first test. And then, I wake up at 4, I get ready, and then I go online, and she's not there. And I text her, I say, Vera, where are you? And she's like, oh, it was a nice day, so I went to the beach. And this was beautiful, because I think she was showing me who she is, and who really is in control. And for me, that was a sign that she's the right person to follow. And I said, okay, when can we talk next? And I think this is when she saw that I was serious. And then we spent hours talking together. And she was really generous. And she told me, about the time and about her family and about the house and about the dental clinic that was in the basement and how every afternoon they would hear the screaming patients.
Which is scary. It says a lot about what a bad dentist her father was. Like if you hear people scream from a dentist clinic.
Yeah, you have an impression that maybe he didn't like using a lot of anesthetic. but it really felt that way, the way she told it. And, him coming to her 50th birthday party, it's a true story. And her, doing the Ronnie Scott thing. We even found the actual Express article with the Jazz Hase.
So that's a real
title.
Headline.
It really, they called her that and it got her in huge trouble at school. And she had a different apartment that she would sneak in. All of this really happened. And when I heard all of this, I was like, oh my God, this is gold. How did no one tell this before? And what an incredible character to put in a film.
So the scene that we have, it's kind of like a framing scene with the father that calls her a big disappointment despite everything she achieved. That's an actual event from her life?
Yeah, she had a 50th birthday party and her father showed up and he gave a speech. And, she didn't remember the exact words, but basically the speech was uncomfortable. And it's a very interesting thing. And she kept coming back to it. She tells me all of her story. And she was a very successful woman. She produced hundreds of concerts. You walk around in the jazz circles or music circles and you say you're working with Vera Brandes. Everyone is like immediately opens the door for you. But she kept coming back to these memories of the house that she came from and the father and you have to be such a strong woman to come from these conditions and then do what she did, and so brave that it was really inspiring.
And how did you find Mala Emde to play this role? Because I imagine it must be very hard to find the perfect actress for such a unique person.
Yeah, it was the most important decision as a filmmaker in the movie. And, I watched everything. I started watching German cinema, looking at tapes, looking at even Instagram, like unknown people. Like I wanted to cast a really wide net and look at all the options. And everything I saw Mala in was always so focused on her. Like she can carry a whole film, right? We saw it in Und Morgen die ganze Welt.
Und Morgen die ganze Welt.
And then we had casting in Berlin and she came and, she walks into a room and you feel like a lion is walking in. And I work mostly in the American film industry. There is a thing that happens when a star, a real star, walks into a room. You feel like the air rearrange itself, And when Mala entered, I felt this. The frequencies in the room were really, really strong. And then, I was like, okay, Mala, this is you. this is, you're going to be Vera Brandes. And then I said, but you're not the actress, because a lot of the times being an actor means taking direction. But this film was about leading. And I told her, this is your film. I'm just following you. And you know, my direction to the cameraman and like to the crew is like, just we let her be free. We let her move. And I told her, Mala, you are my partner. You're leading the charge. I follow you. The only rule is you can't sit still, because Vera Brandes never sits still. So you always have to move.
And in the other great actor in the movie, of course, is Ulrich Tukur to play her father. And he's very famous. You know, he played all the characters you play in German cinema, yeah. Even Hitler, which is kind of like the German equivalent to playing Hamlet. So how did you convince him to take on the role of the father, especially since it's such an unsympathetic role?
Yeah, I told him that I needed someone that is loved, because I don't like when someone is just like, you know, it's very easy to create a very one-dimensional character that is just like this bad father, this abusive father. And I wanted someone that is really charismatic. And Ulrich has this charisma, you know. He's probably the person where you walk with him in Berlin, for example, the most people, suddenly street players show up and play for him, and people are like talking to him, and he is such a magnet. And I wanted him then to do that. And he said, but I don't want to create this monster, you know. And I said, well, let's try and give him dimension. You know, in a way, I feel bad a little bit for this character. And there is a scene in the movie where we go a little deeper into maybe what created this, you know, because I don't believe monsters are born, you know. There are reasons you become a monster.
And also still, even though you said this is not a story about the star, Keith Jarrett is an important figure in the movie because he, in the end, makes the concert. Did you know Keith Jarrett and his music, or was he just, you knew he was a musician, but you didn't listen to it, or were you familiar with it?
I knew Keith. I knew the records, the main ones. I wasn't like a huge fan, which now I am, by the way. I love his work. I think he's such a tremendous talent. All of his body of work is so incredible. But I wasn't that familiar. You know, I'm more like a punk rock guy. And in fact, the film, for me, it's more a punk rock film. Like, this woman is a punk rock hero. It's just we're dealing with jazz. But at the same time, I can also really identify with Keith and what he does in the 70s. Because, you know, he's an American artist. But in America, his art form is dying. There's no more audiences. So he goes to Europe. Which, by the way, you see with a lot of filmmakers now in America, where the art house is kind of dying, and they have to come and make films in Europe or do some international co-production to find ways to make films that are still interesting and challenging and not Spider-Man, you know?
And did you ever get in contact with the real Keith Jarrett, or was he, I mean, I know he's very, he's a recluse.
Yes.
Has very little context, gives hardly any interviews. So did you have any chance to talk to him?
Yeah, of course. We reached out. They said, we don't want to be involved. I think for him, this concert, it's like Creep, you know, for Radiohead. It's like the one thing that everyone knows. And he's played so many concerts and released so many albums, and some of them musically better than the Cologne concert. But everyone will always remember the Cologne concert for him. So I think he doesn't like celebrating it. And I think also a part of it is he doesn't like Vera being celebrated.
Yeah, maybe he's jealous, especially since he's a male white artist. So maybe he is a bit of jealousy.
Yeah, maybe. But we reached out. They said, we don't want anything to do with it. I said, great. They don't get to tell Vera Brandes. She's not telling her story, but I respect their wishes. But I did study a lot of Keith, you know, all of his early interviews, all of the books, all of the autobiographies. And then we found his brother, Chris, who lives in Germany. And the biggest compliment is I sent Chris the script, and Chris said, You know what? This is exactly how my brother talks.
That's a very interesting thing. Like, I would like to ask so many more questions, but I will have only time for one more. So it's always this question, what do you do next? Do you have another project you're already working on or writing on?
Yeah. I have a show I'm developing at HBO. And yeah, I'm working with something with the English director, Joe Wright, on something that's too early to describe. And there's a couple of other things, but it's early days. So there's nothing specific, but a lot of work and not enough time.
Okay, yeah, that's always not enough time. But thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Ido Pflug for Movie Rack. Thank you. And Köln 75 is now at Berlinale. You can watch it here at the Panorama. Now it's at a special section, at a special gala. Even you can watch it here, and it will get a German cinematic release soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much.